Good morning. Praise the Lord. My name is Sam, as you've heard. I'm glad to be here and to be able to share the Word of God with us. It's always a privilege. And my wife and I, and our family, we have been coming here for almost a year now. And we have enjoyed fellowship in this church. And we come from Kenya, and we are students at All Nations in our second year now. But while we are here, we're also working with the African diaspora Christians to help mobilize and just help them realize they are in the mission field. UK has become a mission field. And we just discovered that, for example, 60% of church attendance in London is by Africans and people of African descent. So 60% is really a significant percentage. And so we feel that they have a role to play in reaching this place. Let's get to the Word now. And today we'll be sharing about passion. I do hope that you will understand all the words I'll be speaking. I know the accent is different here, but if you're able to get about 70%, that will be good. And so we'll be talking about passion today. And I don't know what you're passionate about, but as I was preparing, the Lord was reminding me 14 years ago when I was at a crossroads and I really had to make some choices, some hard choices. When I just graduated from university, gone through some training, and I had to make choices. And this was really, you know, my passion for God was tested. And in this season of my life, it seems the Lord is pointing me back to those moments when He spoke some very, very significant things that changed the course of my life. And so, yeah, there are many words to really describe the word passion, to define the word passion. All those words, but I selected a few of them. Words like zeal, words like dedication, affection, a sense of intensity. Some other words would include fire, feeling or sensing fire in your heart for something or someone, or devotion. And one of the interesting ones is suffering. Passion that has an element of suffering in it, because it's so deep, and it calls us to do certain things that might actually lead to suffering. And passion really is used to describe everything from romance to hunger pangs. And in Latin, from the Latin, it means really, comes from the Latin word passe, which is to suffer. And this is, I think, going to be part of the focus of our word today. Passion is what you hunger for so intensely that you will sacrifice anything to have it. And we all have passion for different things. But in as far as our relationship with God is concerned, I think average passion is not enough. Just a mere sense of liking or loving is not enough. Passion is what you hunger for intensely, that you're willing to lay down your life, you're willing to make certain hard decisions, you're willing to take the risk, you're willing to push the boundaries, you're willing to go the extra mile because you're so passionate about it. And there's a course called Perspectives. This is how they define passion. Passion is a heart set free. Listen to this. A heart set free to pursue that which is truly worthy when it comes to our relationship with God. Passion is a heart set free. You are so released to pursue that with all your heart because it's truly worthy. truly worthy. And I think this really reminds me when I got saved. Jesus was my whole world. Nothing mattered really when I got saved. It was unbelievable. The sense of joy, the sense of fulfillment, the sense that I felt that I'm actually late. Why didn't I do this earlier? Jesus filled my life. I would read the word of God with tears. I couldn't believe that this was this word of God. I've been going to church and reading, hearing the word of God, but I didn't really read it for myself, to hear God speak to me through it. And along the way, of course, that was challenged. But passion is a heart set free. You're no longer tied down or, tied down by things. You're willing to allow yourself really to pursue God. Those who set their hearts on what is truly worthy. What is truly worthy? It's the glory of God. Live with joy-filled abandon. Their hearts are both seized and satisfied with the ambition for Jesus to be ardently worshipped among the nations. Because we know really God wants to be worshipped. He wants to be worshipped not just by a few of us, not just people from one tribe or 10 tribes, over 6,000 over 6,000 spoken languages in the world. God wants to be worshipped by each one of them. And that when we are filled with that passion for God, we want to see this happen. I think that there is nothing so powerful as seeing people worship God. I was listening to a song last night by Paul Wilbur, and they were singing this song in Hebrew, and in another one in Spanish. I didn't understand what they were saying, but just watching the videos and seeing them worship was so powerful. I felt like one of them worshiping the Lord. And so passion is about being satisfied, being part of that movement to see people from every nation glorify God. That love comes to dominate and integrate all other desires so that they live in the freedom of single-minded purpose. Passion and purpose are connected. If you're not passionate about the purpose for which God has called you, then what's really the point? Passion and God's purpose are so interlinked. And when we know what it is all about, that sense of eternity with it, that sense of glorifying God, and the kind of joy it brings to his heart, then we are willing to give ourselves to it. And this writer, this famous writer says, God pursues his labors, A.W. Tozer, God pursues his labors always in a fullness of holy zeal. And there are many accounts in the Word of God where the Bible talks about the zeal of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. In Isaiah 9, the one that is popular during Christmas season about the birth of Jesus, the Lord pursued the sending of his son with such passion. He was willing to let him come to the world, be born as a human, with all the weaknesses that that goes with. Go through all the suffering and the testings and, of course, ultimately dying on the cross, being buried like a human, that's passion. And he says God, really, he's passionate in what he does. In Ezekiel 5:13, it says, I, the Lord, have spoken in my zeal. Even speaking his word, he speaks his word with zeal and with passion. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 6, we are told, Hear, O Israel, Moses, the word of God coming to the Israelites, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And I emphasize there the word all. God is not expecting us to love him with 90%. of our passion. 95% or even 99.9%. All our hearts going out to the Lord. All our strength going out to the Lord. We are commanded. We are required. God expects us to love Him with nothing less than everything that we are, everything that we have. Praise the Lord. Yeah. All. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge to love the Lord with all. I don't know. Sometimes I get challenged by the audacity of David. The kinds of words he uses. I think he had such a relationship with God. No wonder the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. He went all out for the Lord. And this really communicates intensity in our service for God. We cannot serve God half-heartedly. We cannot give some of our passion to the Lord. Faithfulness is really, I think, about giving our all. Faithfulness, I think, is measured on, have you given your all to the Lord? Have you gone all out for Him? And that intensity of intimacy. And this is a great challenge, pursuing God. And the intensity of our spirit, longing after God. David says that he longs after God, like a deer pants for the water. And in Scripture, we see people that really went all out for God. Of course, I've mentioned David. And this is what he says. The Bible says in Psalm 63, verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholds me. David says, his soul goes hard. Keep going for God. Regardless of the challenges that he faced. And we know that really David faced a lot of challenges. But he spared no effort in seeking after God's face. His heart was set free to pursue that which is truly worthy. And that is the Lord. And he says, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing hard. I'm going after you, Lord. And we know the story of Moses. The life of Moses is one of those lives that are just, I don't know. He really, really experienced God. Talk of miracles. He'd seen, you can say, Moses saw all of it. He saw the power of God. He was covered by the glory of God. At some point, people would not see, look at his face directly because he was covered with the glory of God. He spent days, 40 days, 40 nights with God up there in the mountains. What had Moses not seen or experienced about God? Even one time when the Israelites were asked to prepare and consecrate themselves so that they can meet the Lord. Prepare for 3 days. You've been hearing about God. We are going to meet Him. You can imagine. I think there was, maybe people were excited. I don't know what people were expecting. But the whole community was prepared to go and meet the Lord. But when the day came, in Exodus 19, and the presence of the Lord came, and the mountains were shaking, and there was all these clouds covering the mountains, and everybody was scared. He said, Moses, we can't do this. Please just go hear what he has to say and come and tell us. The Israelites could not bear the presence of God. How about Moses? He just used to walk into the presence of God and stay with him for days upon days. Yet, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, listen to what Moses says. He was not finished with God. He hadn't gotten enough of him. He says, show me your glory. What was Moses asking? What is it about God that he had not experienced? What is it about God that he felt, I'm not yet there? And he continued to press harder to see all of God. He's like, I want all of you, Lord. I've seen your miracles, I've talked to you, I've seen all this, but show me. There is something more I want to experience from you. Show me your glory. And in Scripture, we have this kind of people whose passion for God was just, you couldn't just satisfy their passion for God. A number of miracles were not enough. They served God, but it seemed just that they wanted more of him, and they went after him. And we see Moses as an example of that. Passion for God. Are we satisfied with how much we love the Lord? It's not enough. There's always room to go after God, thinking about Moses. And Jesus, this particular time, when he went to the temple and found the Israelites had turned the court of the Gentiles into a marketplace. The Jews were had this particular time in their lives, they had lost the vision for the nations. And this temple had a provision for the Gentiles, for the nations from all over the world to come and worship the Lord. But the Jews had missed it at this particular time. And they wanted to make it convenient for themselves to worship the Lord. You don't need to come from miles away with your sheep and, you know, doves and wherever. You just come over, you buy them here, sacrifice them over there, and that's good. But they had taken what was not divinely their space. They had taken other people's blessings to add to their own blessings, to add to their own comfort, to add to their own, you know, convenience. And Jesus, understanding what the Bible says concerning the house of the Lord, he was so zealous. And the Bible says that the house of God was to be a house of prayer for all nations. And the Lord expected that the Jews perhaps will be at the gates waiting for the Gentiles that are coming from the nations. And they have heard about the fame of God, the fame of the God of Israel. And they had come all the way. And maybe the Jews will be out there in the gates waiting and welcoming them. Please welcome to the house of the Lord. Welcome and worship with us. This is the God that we've worshipped for thousands of years. And, you know, preach the gospel to them and lead them to know Jesus and to know God much more. But instead of that, what did they do? They turned this space, you know, for their own convenience. And Jesus would not take that. Just the sense that God's purposes were being sabotaged here. Just the sense that Gentiles would no longer worship God because their place of worship has been taken away. Just, you know, like Jesus behaved in a very unlikely way. We are used to a very polite, gentle, kindly person. But this particular time, you know, I think the lion bit of him, you know. Zeal for your house will consume me. And I believe that God is calling all of us, all over the world, at these very amazing times, to have zeal for the Lord's house, so that it is a house of prayer for all nations. All nations. I was looking at some statistics, and just the Open Doors, they deal with persecuted church. They have done the 2020 list of countries with it is hardest to be a Christian around the world. And one of those countries is Pakistan. It's among the top, I think, top five. But in the UK alone, there are 1.7 Pakistanis in a country that is free and they are able to hear the gospel. What would it look like with the zeal that the house of God will be a house of prayer for all nations, for the church, for God's people, to be so passionate that there are 1.7 million Pakistanis here in the UK that interact with Christians, live in the neighborhoods, work out here. They would hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Zeal for the Lord's house will consume us like it did with Jesus. And Paul warns us, all of us, writing to the Romans, he said in Romans chapter 12, verse 8 and 11, let the one who leads lead with zeal, with passion. Are we leaders? Let those who lead, lead with passion. And he says, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord to all of us. Do not be slothful. Do not be lazy. Do not be half-hearted about service. That's not just, no, touch on the surface. And I'm not saying that is what is happening here. I hope you understand. I'm just reading the scripture to us. Just saying what Paul is challenging us, all of us, myself included, all of us included, the Church of Jesus Christ included. Let the one who leads, lead with zeal. All over the world, the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus. Do not be slothful. Don't be lazy. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. And some of these words, I think they have really deeper meaning. Fervency. That's above average. That's getting deeper with the Lord. One of the scriptures that really challenges me is this one. As I serve the Lord, as I pursue the Lord, as I seek the Lord, this scripture is really a challenge. It says this about Amaziah, the king of Israel. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Jehoaddan. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. It's almost a contradiction, huh? He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So I can actually do whatever is right in the eyes of the Lord, but not all out, all given. He didn't serve the Lord wholeheartedly. And a lot of times my passion for the Lord really gets challenged. The issues of life, the circumstances, the good times and the bad times, challenges come. Good times come that really challenge my passion for God. And sometimes I am merely surviving on seeking to do that which is right. Lord, if only I can do that which is right. But God is calling us to do it wholeheartedly. Whatever that we do in the name of the Lord, for the glory of God, we do it wholeheartedly. And Jesus, again speaking to the church, in the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 to 4, this church in Ephesus, he says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. If there was a full stop there, that's good enough, isn't it? If you didn't have verse 4 and verse 5, and you just ended there, this is a church that is persevering for the Lord. These are people that are being tested. These are people that have, you know, endured hardship for God's sake. And they have not grown weary. They are keeping at it. But listen to what the Lord says. Yet, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. And passion for the Lord would be tested in this way. The outflow of it. The Lord can tell when, you know, we are doing it, but really my heart is not in it. He can tell when I'm just doing stuff, but he knows your heart is not in it. Your emotions are not in it. You don't feel it. You're not passionate about it. You're being dutiful. You're not passionate. You are dutiful. You're doing what is required of you. The bare minimum or the average. He knows. And the Lord could see that even though this church, and I find myself here a lot of times, even though this church was persevering, you know, paying the cost for their faith, yet the Lord knew, oh, the passion you had for me at first is no longer there. It's gone down. Your first love. You know, when you really are not so careful about your own reputation, maybe, your own comfort, maybe, your own conveniences, maybe. When you are moved, like some of the singers say, by things that really move me, I know it's not there. You become mere dutiful. You're doing this as a matter of duty, not passion. Not desire, not hunger, not that longing after God. And this church was challenged. How is our first love for the Lord? How is our love in, you know, in, if you're to be measured with those earlier times, maybe? Are we doing what we are doing out of duty, out of obligation? Are we loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, and spirit? And there are so many stories of people, even here, people that we know, people that I know, their stories really challenge me. Stories of missionaries, for example. People that are paying the cost to push the boundaries of the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth at a very high cost. People are dying. If you look at the statistics of those that are dying for the Lord. Oh. And the Bible says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, there are witnesses around us of people that we can see. I am challenged by their passion. Hopefully, this would become an encouragement to us. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Our challenge, our passion for God will be hindered by a lot of things and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I think our passion is really affected by those kind of things. Sometimes we just get too busy. Sometimes the culture doesn't allow us to do certain things for the Lord. Sometimes, you know, yeah, all kinds of things. But we are told, at least we can look. There are some people we can look at and really feel encouraged and is inspired. Okay, and there's a time in my life 14 years ago when I read so many biographies of people that were, you know, are given out to the Lord. Sometimes, you know, I get encouraged by the Bible. Praise God for the Bible and all the people that were so passionate, like the ones we have talked about. But, you know, recent history of people that have given themselves is so encouraging and so challenging. And I just want to share an example of a few of them. And this is a missionary from this land, the one that is considered the father of modern mission, William Carey. And he did his research and found that, you know, some parts of the world had not really experienced the gospel. And he offered himself to be a missionary to India. And he was silenced by some of the church bishops, and he was told, "Sit down, young man. If God wants to reach the heathen, he can reach them without your help or ours." He was a simple man, a shoemaker. I don't know how that looked like those years. He was not a famous man. He was just an ordinary man. And we know that God used this man to do incredible things in India. And this is what one of his famous quotes: expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. What a challenge. There are times when we consider what we want to pursue for ourselves is actually greater than what we seek to pursue for God. Sometimes we offer too small a thing. But this man says, expect great things from God. Doesn't end there, because one can expect great things from God, but he says, attempt, go out there, do something. Do something about it. Attempt to do something for the Lord. Dream big for God. Aspire great things for God. Believe God to do the extraordinary. Because he's a great God. He's Almighty God. He's in charge. But that's not all. Step out there. There are barriers. There are hindrances. There are obstacles. Some of them are cultural, financial, all those other factors. But he says, attempt. And his story really is amazing about what God used him to do in India. And, of course, another famous missionary from England or from the UK, Dr. David Livingstone. This is what he says: God, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. And sever any tie in my heart except the tie that binds my heart to yours. I will place no value on anything I have or may possess except in relation to the kingdom of Christ. Passion. These were passionate people. Anything. I was reading about the student volunteer movement from the U.S. to other parts of the world, and how these thousands of students in conferences, they would make a vow. When they're asked to make commitments, they would say, "I vow, God willing, to be a missionary." And many years later, I think after one of the people that had committed himself to the movement, but he didn't go overseas. He helped others, mobilizing resources. Many years later, he went to this monument that had been done to remember the student volunteer movement. And he recommitted himself. He was serving the Lord, but he recommitted himself there and said, "Lord, I am willing." I think that was 30 years later, after he had made the first commitment. He said, "Lord, I am willing to go anywhere, anytime to serve you. Anywhere, anytime to do anything for you." 30 years later, after he first committed himself. But this is the kind of passion that drove these people, that for us, from where we come from in Africa, this really challenges our passion for God. That people that had many other opportunities in life gave themselves to come to our continent at a very desperate moment when we desperately needed the gospel. And that has made a whole world of change in our lives. And of course, William Wilberforce. This is what he said: "If to be feelingly alive to the sufferings of my fellow creatures is to be a fanatic, I'm one of the most incurable fanatics ever permitted to be at large." You know the story of William Wilberforce and his push to see the end of slavery. And this is what he says about Africa. Africa, your sufferings have been the theme that has arrested and engaged my heart. That is passion. He was arrested by a passion to see Africans released from the bondage of slavery. And he pushed this for such a long time, and the Lord gave victory. This is what men and women, I could quote other women, other people, other say women here, that, you know, same quotes can be given about them. Men and women that really offered themselves to see God glorified. You know the story of Evan Roberts, the one that was used by God to pour for this outpouring in revival 1904. And he prayed for 13 years for revival. And these words, I cried, bend me, bend us. Then, oh, he was just overcome with the presence of God. And he says, what bent me was God commending his love, and I not seeing anything in it to commend. He just cried to the Lord, bend me, begin with me. And our passion for God brings us to that place where we want nothing more apart from the whole of God in our own lives. Passion is the heart set free to pursue that which is truly, truly worthy. Those who set their hearts on what is most worthy, the glory of God, the famous, the Lord becoming famous and renowned, becoming the Lord of the nations, they live with joy-filled abandon. Their hearts are both seized and satisfied with the ambition for Jesus to be ardently worshipped among the nations. So, 2020, may the Lord help us to be more passionate for him than 2019. To just go all out for him in 2020. And to push that boundary and to take the risk and to pay the cost and to suffer for it if it calls us to suffer for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that by God's mercies, you will help us to love you so passionately, to run after you, to seek after you, to dream with you, nations coming to worship you, and to pay the cost that that would require, so that we are not just dutiful, we are wholeheartedly given to you and to your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.